Hey, all you groovy cats and kittens out there in podcast land. We'd really appreciate it if you could support the show. It means we don't have to take on advertisers. Just go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and make a selection. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Buy and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio with Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Doing I am good.
Are you a robot?
All of a sudden I decided I wanted to be the robot.
Okay.
Oh, not with a British accent.
Oh, damn it, a British robot.
Please. Please do the whole episode with a robot voice. Hey, listeners.
Oh, I thought I was going to say, hey,
Lisa. Hey, listeners. Serious talk for a moment. You know how we say you can support the show, go to that, use that Amazon link we've got on my website, and you use that link, and then you buy stuff, and we get a percentage. And you know, I can see a list of what people buy. I don't see who buys what. I don't have access to that. I don't want access
to
that.
You just see what's been
purchased? But what's been bought that we've got a percentage
can
of?
Can we do a podcast on?
Oh well, we. I was going to talk about
people buy.
A lot of people are leery now. A lot of people are buying early learning books. You know, a lot of people are buying books that we mentioned on the show, and that's cool.
Like a hair dryer. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are buying gardening supplies, and people are buying child care supplies, things like, you know, baby wipes and a new gate and that kind of stuff.
Anything funky?
So, well, somebody bought a Kindle book on how to write. Guess.
A Kindle book on
how to write something. Guess what that something is.
Rules. How to write. I don't know. Should I know?
I don't know. I want to guess before I
thought you were going to say something like a book on how to do podcasts.
Well, that's a good one.
We should probably look for that one. Come on, give me a guess. How to write.
Childhood guidelines?
No. One more guess and then I'll tell you.
How to have a baby?
How to write have a baby?
I thought you meant a book on how to write. A screenplay?
No.
A cookbook?
No. Sex scenes?
How to write sex scenes?
Sex scenes. So, I don't know who that listener is.
Like how to write?
Did you read it
right? How to write sex scenes?
I wonder if it was my friend from Indiana.
I don't know, but what I want to say is if you are a regular listener of the show, first, thanks for your support, and two, we'd like to read what you wrote.
It'd be kind of like fan fiction, maybe.
Oh, please!
Right?
Please no.
Maybe that's how she. I'm assuming it's a woman. It might not be. Maybe that's how that. They're moonlighting. They're offsetting their minimum wage 12-hour a day early childhood job
with
writing
books.
Sexy books.
Yeah, well, if you're listening and you've been practicing.
Suzanne, I know you probably don't listen, but if it's you, thank you.
Seriously, send us what you're writing. Lisa, we're talking about
what is quality today.
This comes up a lot about quality early learning programs and quality preschool. And one thing in like 30 years in this field that I've realized is there's no really agreed to definition of what quality is.
Quality. The standard of something as measured against other things of a similar kind. Oh, they're really the same thing. The degree of excellence in something.
Mm. Okay, now quick. The degree of excellence.
Excellence. The quality. of being outstanding or extremely good.
Ah. So.
Outstanding, extremely good, brilliant, great, supreme.
Well. So when it comes to early learning, what are we talking about here? Because I the understanding of quality I get from some people is that they a quality early learning program is something that has them ready for kindergarten. That mean and by ready for kindergarten means they'll be good little walking straight lines people who've had a bunch of stuff dumped in their heads already, so that by the time they get to third or fourth grade, they're scoring well on tests. That's the definition of quality I hear sometimes. Quality, some people describe quality as having a joyful childhood. We don't have an agreed upon professional definition of the term, do we?
Several research studies have found that high-quality childcare programs have certain characteristics in common, which might help parents make better choices for their children because they indicate a greater likelihood of quality care. Quality indicators measure the conditions that generally foster a safe, nurturing, and stimulating environment for children, and they are, shall we do a drum roll? Low child ratios, low ratios, small group size, staff with higher education and ongoing training, prior experience and education of the director, low teacher turnover, positive interactions between the teacher and the child, accreditation or higher than minimum licensing standards, age-appropriate activities, good health and safety practices.
And do they give a definition of what they're defining quality as?
No.
Which...
Well, they're saying that if you are, they're implying that if you these have those things are happening, that you're going quality. To be quality, which that brings up an issue that you and I share completely, which is just because somebody walks in and has this checklist, that doesn't mean that what's going on there is loving and caring and nurturing. And the positive teacher-child interactions, you can, I'm bothered by the fact that that's number 7 on the list, right? That should be the first and foremost.
And then how they define positive teacher-child interactions. That might mean sit down, shut up, and listen, do what I crisscross applesauce hands
right,
to yourself.
Right, right. So I think that I have a good relationship with this child because she does exactly I want.
She puts her hands in her lap.
She puts her hands in the air when she's done washing her hands.
She doesn't squiggle her fingers around in the sandwich bags.
She just, exactly. This is always very tricky, right? Because... You have some camps that say if you've jumped through the hoops of their accreditation system that you know, somehow implies that you're now a quality program, which I always took offense to because I chose to not be accredited, and you all know this if you've been listening for any length of time, and resented the fact that I was lumped in the you are now not a quality program because you're choosing not to give us money and subscribe to, you know, this particular thing. So even if we're not wanting to debate these bullet points, I mean, there is some, I at least believe that if most of these things are present, I liked how they said a much greater likelihood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can respect that.
I can respect that too. You know, all controlling for all variables, if all of this was going on, with the most positive definition of all these other words that are in here, like positive interactions and, you know, age-appropriate activities. I mean, assuming that that was all controlled, not controlled, but like controlled for all variables, that probably could be a quality spot. If we're gonna, for the sake of this conversation, say that quality is something of high excellence.
Uh-huh. Do children need quality?
Do they need excellence?
Do they need excellence?
That's a valid point. I don't know if anybody's ever asked that question.
My understanding is kind of we as human beings are kind of, we don't need perfect parents. We don't need perfect caregivers. We're kind of wired for good enough because that's kind of the way the human race has survived and thrived with not perfect. Not excellent, but good enough because we tend to be very resilient creatures, and evolutionary evolutionarily, it hasn't been the need for perfect. What's Bettelheim's book? A good enough parenting?
I don't know if that's Bettelheim. Good enough.
I've got it upstairs.
No, you don't need to go get it. I got it. The case for good enough parenting. Good enough parenting. Will I ever be good enough? The perfect parent, the good enough mother. Where's Tiffany?
I could have got the book by now.
Oh, shut up. Well, go get it then.
Okay, well, you guys talk about something, so it's not dead air.
Dead air. You
can't just pause?
Nope. Talk.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, I will honestly say, we can have this conversation.
Yes.
I've never heard it, and maybe I have, but just in the moment right now, I'm not recalling any time that anybody actually maybe polled the kids. Like, you know, there are some kids that have been in childcare long enough and are old enough to be able to answer a direct question of what do you wish went on here or what should be going on here or what does childcare mean? That would be an interesting conversation to see how the children defined what they thought needed to happen here. That would actually be an interesting project.
That would be. Okay, you know, listeners, who's out there?
Somebody go poll your children. I have always subscribed to that good enough, and you know it's good enough. Again, controlling for all the variables because I mean we've done a lot of observations and we've visited a lot of schools, and there are some places where good enough wasn't enough because there was a disgustingly huge ratio, and they were allowed to be there for forever, and the nutrition. I mean, it's just like there were 99,000 things that were not okay. Good enough. It was Bruno Bettelheim.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, hold on. Let me read it. Okay, so let's talk about chapter 5.
Lisa just thumbed through the book. Did some speed reading.
I did. It's such a modern looking book to have his name attached to it. Bless you. Bruno Bettelheim still alive? He can't be.
I don't know.
He also wrote an awesome book in the 70s called Loving Them Is Not Enough. Right? That just because you love kids doesn't mean you're going to be good with them. But then if you're going to be good with them, that good enough is going to be okay. I would love to have had dinner with him.
Well, maybe we can arrange it.
What we were saying while you were gone was that how awesome would it be if we asked the children what they think should be happening in a childcare center? Like, what should happen here? What needs to happen here?
That would be, you know, the client satisfaction in a lot of fields is a measure of quality. If you're in a department store and you're happy with the service and the merchandise and everything, you would kind of think it was a quality store. If you're in a restaurant and the surface is good and the food is good and the music isn't too loud and it's like kind of it's not 14-year-old girl music and all that kind of stuff, you think it was a quality restaurant. And so asking the clientele for their opinions would seem to me to be kind of an indicator of quality, or at least one way of measuring it.
I have said that if you have a bunch of people who want to show up every day, that you're probably on the right track. You know, you got people who want to be there. You got some water. You got some dirt. You got a couple of good books, and you know a couple of good songs. Everything else is bonus. The rest is gonna happen on its own.
It kind of takes care of itself.
The key indicator, I think, is the relationship factor and the components. Mm-hmm. The other stuff, I'm not going to disagree with anything else that was listed there. I think low ratios. You know, again, though, we can argue both sides. We all know somebody who, if they had a 1-to-1 ratio, they'd still lose the kid, right?
Yeah.
So you know, that's all got to be taken with a grain of salt. As an indicator, yes, those are good things to be thinking of. Relationships and interactions needs to be number one on that list.
So, do we beat ourselves up too much over quantity? Has it become some people out there that are so bad? And so maybe we shouldn't focus on quality so much as we should focus on getting to good enough. Because quality has become such a buzzword back in my center days, we had to go through a lot of
you can say
bullshit with the United Way for funding, and they had their outcomes and goals and all this kind of stuff, and it was all an effort to provide quality programming, but it was all buzzword BS that didn't,
which is why I wanted to do the glossary.
Yeah, which is why we're creating the wiki, earlylearningwiki.com. If you're an early learning nerd and want to help contribute to the project by writing definitions and helping,
or at least compiling, you don't helping, need to
actually, well, yeah, helping write. Compile
Lisa, and make her legacy
and what's the word, curate content, get a hold of me. So I don't know, it
see, and I
is
think
there, is there just too much heat there?
I don't know, because sometimes who we allow to do this work good enough is not enough. I need a little bit more being brought to the table of buy-in and relationship and understanding what kids bring to the table. So to allow good enough to become, you know, a ceiling.
Well, I'm not thinking about it as a ceiling. I'm thinking about it as a floor.
We're not. Okay, a floor. But it's not.
We would
this, this book and the intention behind the articles and stuff is saying that this, you're good. This is okay. This is fine. You know, stop stressing out. Calm down. They don't need to go to 49 things a day. Mm-hmm. They don't need to get straight A's. You know, you don't need to have the kitchen always clean and the laundry always done. So just kind of dial it back a little bit. I am not in any way, manner, shape, or form convinced that the caliber of people who we let do this profession are quite at a spot where we can say it needs to relax a little bit. I think there's certain things that people can relax on, but I think when it comes to the energy and investment and engagement and passion that they're bringing to the table, I don't think we're at a spot yet where we can say that good enough is enough.
Okay, now, I agree. What I'm getting at is, though, we spend so much time talking about quality, trying to raise the ceiling.
Right.
I think what we need to do is we need to pay attention to the floor, because we would do a lot more in this profession to raise quality if we started with the worst programs and lifted them up a tiny bit,
which comes back to staff. And I like that. I like, you've dropped a couple like little sound bites today that I like a lot. Paying attention to the floor. What's going on there? Who's our starting spot?
Our starting spot's got to be.
No, but I mean, who literally? Well, yeah. Like the floor is the starting spot. You take the state with the absolutely bottom line licensing regs and you say, okay, this is what they're saying is quality. How do I somehow still attract people who realize that this is the floor and not the ceiling?
Yeah.
And that is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not breaking any laws. I'm in compliance.
Yeah. Hey.
But my God, there's so much more you could be doing, but I don't need to. Like, that needs to change before we can say that good enough is enough.
Yeah.
You don't need to. And you want to, at least.
Which is tricky, because what do we know about people, right? You can't make, I can't make you want to be better. No. At the end of the day, you're getting paid to do the job and you're not breaking any laws.
Yeah. And your clients are happy with what you're doing, so.
And maybe only perhaps because they've never seen anything more than what you're doing, so they don't even realize that they should be pushing back a little bit and going,
yeah.
Could this be changed a little bit? Is it wrong to say that quality is situational?
Oh, no, I think it probably is. I think it might be wrong to say quality is doing more, though, because at some point quality becomes doing less, knowing when to step back and when to do less and when to stay out of the way more. And
step back
to step well
so
yeah
doing
to
step more back. Step back doing more
doesn't always equal
not does, always
doesn't always equal quality does it. I mean,
well, I think it depends on the program.
Oh yeah,
depends on the person.
Yeah, I would argue that some of the programs I would probably consider lower in quality are doing a lot. They're walking with their hands up in the air after washing. They're doing a lot of the wrong stuff, and they're doing it very rigidly, without a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the programs I would consider to be very quality programs are intentionally doing less.
Less. Mm. I agree completely. I'm trying to think how to paint a picture of what you mean by that to a first-time listener, first-year teacher.
In Australia, we visited my buddy, oh my God, I can't remember.
The one with the birds?
No. We visited Trisha's program.
Sorry, I think
he pulled a Lisa.
I know, I'm sorry. I think he means Trisha.
And I wasn't able to like what there's just, is her name?
Hey, Australia, there's just too many of you. You've all got the same accent. We visited our buddy Trisha's program, and they are awesome. They are incredibly adept at doing less. Mm-hmm. They've got kind of a quality rating system kind of thing over there, and hers was, I think, the first program in at least her state, if not the country, that received the top rating. And you walk in, and it's cozy, like we've talked about in other episodes. And the kids are the leaders. I mean, we got 2-year-olds doing free range snacking and napping, that, you know, when you're tired, you go to sleep, and when you're not tired, you play. And it's kind of an inside-out program, and the kids are deciding if they're going to be inside or out, and just a beautiful collection of ugly, used, loose parts and bits and pieces, and it was delightful.
It felt relaxed, comfortable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't any hurry, and there wasn't any pressure, and people were just being, whether they were adults or students, and there were conversations and stories and relationships and play. I mean, this is a program where we saw kids get on a swing, and these two girls, it's one of those big flat round swings that you can stand up and swing on, and these little girls were on there for 40 minutes. And there wasn't a push to take turns and this kind of stuff. It was just, they played with it until they were done, and then they moved on to something else. And
if somebody wanted to get on with them, there'd be a conversation, and sometimes the kid was allowed on, and other times it was like, nope, too many. And then the kid would wander off and find something else to do.
Realistically relaxed.
Yes.
I think that's the same feeling that we get when we visit Keisha Reed's program in Poolsville, Maryland. It's that same feel. Mm-hmm. Lots of loose parts and lots of kids being in control and lots of trust and lots of love and lots of relationships. And I mean, I gotta say, there's a reason both of them host podcasts on Upstairs Studio too, because we were very taken by the quality of those programs, and it's not as rigid as I think a lot of people. I don't know. You think you talk quality, and I think people think structure, form, control.
Checklists.
And the receipt at the end of the day.
So maybe how we're defining, maybe we don't necessarily take issue with the notion or the concept of providing quality childcare, but maybe we're taking some issue with how that phrase is being used. Maybe we need to rework the definition, even the definition, but reworking what we mean by that, or clarifying a little more.
Yeah,
what we mean by that.
Yeah,
because I would argue that I would go on a limb. Sorry, I got a little. My pillow started to get sweaty.
Oh no! Change it out.
I would go so far as to say that the reason that those providers, what do they like to call themselves down there? Teachers, educators, educators, providers? Do you remember? It doesn't matter. I'm just, you know, wanting to be respectful.
Similar here. Okay. It just varies from place to place.
I would argue that probably one of the reasons that they're able to be so relaxed and realistic with the children is because they do bring to the table an in-depth understanding and knowledge of children and child development.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. And this is why I get antsy when people say you need to have a bachelor's degree, only because a bachelor's degree doesn't mean that you have that. But oh, yeah. I do believe that you have to have an in-depth understanding of children, child development theory, and how kids work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I think you can get, you can get that through a degree, but as we've talked about in other episodes, there are some people that are getting those degrees and aren't getting that.
Please hold. Apparently the computer thinks we're done talking.
Yeah. Well, now you just told you broke the fourth wall because nobody
we do gonna, that all the time.
Nobody was going to know that.
Oh, sorry.
No, I just moved the file. Now we can keep talking.
Oh, okay.
Because we're not going to go and edit any of that out.
I was going to say
right? No, it's just going to be there.
We're pushing towards half an hour on this, and I don't know. I just think it's something that in this profession we talk about a lot, but I don't think we have any clear profession-wide definition of what quality is.
Well, I think there's clear definitions of it. I think we just might push back a little on what it's implying. Like, even this list that, you know, like the PDF that they have attached to their website is a checklist.
Yeah. Yeah. And you
they do a really nice overview of what those bullet points mean in theory, but then there's a checklist. Do child care teachers have credentials? You know, I
preach out some freaking credentials.
You know,
yeah.
Are the ratios low? And it's yes or no. Like, so you walk in with somebody who really doesn't understand. But I got this online, and this means that it's quality. But yet, I walked in and got a really weird vibe, and it kind of smelled funny.
Uh huh.
But according to my checklist, so this is a quality place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't. It can't be. But quality for me has almost become a gut feeling when you walk into a program. When you do this long enough, and I can't say that because there are people that have been doing this a long time that don't have this feeling. But you can walk into a program and within 3 minutes, you just know in your gut whether it's a quality program or not. Don't you, Lisa?
I do.
And I
but that was going to be my fault. I didn't realize we'd been talking this long already, but one of the notes that I had written down was, you know, and how do you know? Yeah, it's one thing to say we've meet all of these things, but really we're going to say that because somebody said yes on a checklist that like that's going to be your evidence or that's going to be your proof?
Yeah.
Do you know that somebody's passionate? How do you know that somebody, you know, is totally engaged? How can you tell?
Yeah, and we can talk about accreditation and all that kind of stuff, but we all know programs can look really good on the day of that accreditation visit and then go back to doing things the way they were before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, I got a whole nother conversation we need to have about accreditation when I'm brave enough. We'll have to come back to that. We talked about it a little bit in Florida.
Yeah, I remember now.
So I don't know. Maybe what people need to do is just kind of step back and reflect on what they're calling quality and you know where they're at with it, because it's a big, hairy, complicated thing.
It's more than a soundbite, right? And it's
obviously more than a 30-minute podcast episode we haven't really got that far into it, and it's just a hard thing. But I think we need to really think about when we think about are we running a quality program. We got to think about what we mean by that.
Yeah,
and we probably will never have a profession-wide agreed to definition. But having more clarity as an individual practitioner is probably a good idea.
And honestly, unless you're really wanting to wrap this up, I'm going to say one more thing.
No, we can go as long as you want.
And you know why? Because it's our show.
That's right.
That's right.
Is I would rather have everybody in one program on the same page with what that particular program is calling quality than to have just some kind of basic generic alignment with a third party system something and say, well, we jump through these hoops, or you tick yes every time you walk through, so now we're quality. I would actually rather have some people in the field be able to say, and this is why we don't and this is why we do get a 2 on this Eckers item, because that to me is quality.
Yeah.
Having people who can talk about this and not only just talk about the field, but the intention behind how they are defining quality. This is what we call a quality program here in this place.
This is, and being able to articulate that And so then there becomes such a thing as a quality crappy program because they can articulate why they do all the crappy stuff that they do.
Well, you know,
they're very good at doing that thing, and they can explain why.
And I was just going to say a few minutes ago when you talked about the raising the hands, when I'm like, they're consistent.
Yeah.
They're consistently inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, they're all on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so does that make that quality?
We're doing well. What was that definition again?
Excellence and extremely good.
Well, we're excellent, extremely good at doing this very developmentally appropriate thing. So that would fit the definition of quality. Now, that might not be the quality a parent wants for their child or a quality that many listeners of the show would want to listen to, but there are programs that are very good
at
consistently doing the inappropriate, developmentally inappropriate thing. So
that's tricky.
That's probably quality, I guess, if you...
Mm-hmm. It's been what is the phrase that I am developmentally inappropriately appropriate? Yeah.
Should we wrap it up?
Sure.
Hey, we apparently don't know what quality is. We've got some thoughts, but it's a big complicated thing. And what we're hoping that you do after listening to this episode is think about it and come up with your own opinions. And we'd love to have you share those with us if and you want to, and understand if and you don't. And hope you tune in for another episode soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.